Right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and today's show we're going to be talking about a lot of cool things that help you move forward with your finances. I mean, that's what I do every week. Been doing it for many, many years, and today's show topic is a good one. Fundamentals about money you have to master regardless of your income. And we're going to go through and talk about some of the four basics. And on top of that, I'm going to talk about offense, defense. You know, the football season that's just began, you know, one of the key elements of all the winners is they have a great defense. And if you want to win financially, one of the things you have to have is a great defense. And then once you have the defense in place, and we move toward the offense. So what are the four things that you need to absolutely master, regardless of your income, if you want to get ahead and move forward and really be in control of your destiny? Because, you know, if you don't have any money, somebody's always putting the thumb on you, dictating everything you do. But once you get your money in place, get your money good, you're going to end up having a lot more freedom in this life. And that's just the way it is. And if you don't like it the way it is, too bad. It's that's the way it is. And so what are the four defensive positions that no matter what you make, you've got to have? Number one's a cash flow plan and a budget. We're going to go through and show what to do. You know, I talk to people that are doing well, and they say, how much money do you need? And these are people that, you know, I play golf at a country club here. I've been doing that for years because I got my money right, and I like playing golf, and I like playing at good places. And so I joined a country club. And when I talk to those guys, I tell them, I say, hey, the number is probably $6 million. And they're like, okay, that's the number. All right, good. Now, someone else that is out there working, they're not running that lifestyle, they probably need $1.5 million. All right. But the bottom line is that you got to have a plan to get there, and you got to figure out how to spend less than you make. So cash flow budget is number one. Number two is the emergency fund. What is an emergency fund? It's the fund that you have that keeps you from panicking no matter what happens. Enough liquid cash to keep you from panicking. Number three is you got to control and eliminate bad debt. I want to make that clear, control and eliminate bad debt. We're going to get into what is bad debt. You got to buy the right insurance so you don't go backwards. That's your defense. How about that? So we have defense, cash flow plan, emergency fund, control and eliminate debt, buy the right insurance. Then we go on the offense. The offense is we have our retirement plans going in the right direction. We have our college for our kids set up and ready to go. May want to pay our house off. We want to have some opportunity cash to take advantage of opportunities. We want to have a tax plan that will keep us going in the right directions when it comes to taxes. So that's what we do. And what we're going to do today is I'm going to walk you through. I want you to go to my website right now and download a couple things. Number one is the budget download, and it's going to give you the absolute everything, a form to allow you to find out where you need to be to start with. That's the beginning thing, and that's the budget. The second form, or the second download you want to do, is how money works. We're going to go into debt reduction, and there's a great chapter on debt reduction. And then we're also going to go into understanding mutual funds and understanding the part of the offense, which is in there. And that's, I think, page 18 in the book. So if you go to RoyMatlockJr.com, download all these things. This is going to be kind of like a teaching class. If you're just tuning in right now, we're going to cover the offense, the defense, the four fundamentals of the defense, and the three fundamentals, or four fundamentals, basically, of the offense. So with that being said, hey, also, if you are still, if you are in the Nashville area, you're you're running out of time, but we're at the home show right now. The National Home Show is down there this weekend, and all kinds of cool things that they have. I ate lunch down there, had some good food. They have a bunch of booths down there that you can find anything to do with your home. If you're wanting to buy real estate, you got, you know, realtors down there. You've got Angela Peach has got her, our recommended person is down there. So bottom line is you run down there. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a little promo code. Log into my website. It's going to come right up. Put in Roy Matlock. You get half off your ticket price, but it's almost over. So with that being said, let's talk about, you know, the basic fundamentals. Let's start with the emergency fund, because the emergency fund, what is it? Well, it's 3 months of cash, 3 months of living expenses, 6 months if you're a single income earner. What's it? What's it designed for? It's designed for, number one, staying out of debt. You know, first thing that happens, if you don't have any money, you borrow. All right, if you still have the ability to do that. So the emergency fund allows you to keep from having financial setbacks, things that cause you problems, maybe from a job loss, whatever it may be. Let's set that aside, put it in a bank account. Let's put it into a money market mutual fund. Let's put it into something that's separated. You know, I first got involved in this type of business. Everything I had was sitting in one place. And so it was my checking account. That was my, I didn't understand these kind of things. You know, you may be out there right now and you're like new and getting started, or maybe you're 40 and you're like, dadgum, I've worked for, you know, my 20 years and I really don't have anything to show for it. And so what we want to do is, regardless of your income, we want to spend less than we make. And one of the ways that we keep ourselves out of debt is we have cash. Let me give you some examples of the benefits of having cash. The first one is, if you have cash saved, knowing 3 to 6 months, eventually maybe a year set aside, you don't worry about tomorrow. You wake up, you feel good, your attitude is great. You know, I've never met a broke person that's in trouble financially, that's got a good attitude. They're just like, they just don't like life. I mean, because you know what? It's hard when you, every single thing that goes on is a disaster. It's a disaster if you have a flat tire and you're like, ah, gosh, I don't have any money. So what we want to do is we want to be in a position to where we have cash in our pocket. You know, I always tell people, put some $100 bills in your pocket and it makes you feel better. And when you reach in there, even if you never spend them, all right, just if you reach in your pocket and you know that you got some cash with you. So I always tell people, we want to be cash in our pocket. We want to be broke in our checkbook because everything is allocated. We want to have an emergency fund that's 3 months minimum cash that we can access if something happens bad, and we are now in charge of our destiny. Then what we're going to do is we're going to take all that and we're going to break it up into, how do we develop a budget that's easy to use? You know, when I first got started doing this, I didn't understand budgeting, I didn't understand how it works, and I would make a list of my bills. Well, here's the thing. When you make a list of your bills, that works, okay? At least it gives you an idea of the money you already spent. It gives you an idea of the money that you got in your future future bills coming out. So what we want to do is we want to make a list of everything that we have. And this budget form that we have, it's a free download. We don't charge for any of these kind of things. I mean, my business is made up of helping people with their finances. The difference with our business is we educate you for free, and then we also have all the products and solutions for you to help you set the emergency fund up or whatever it may be. But with that being said, you download the form, and then what we're going to do is we're going to go through. This is a two-hour deal that you're going to go through, and you're going to go through your checking account. You're going to take a look at everything you're doing, and we're going to list it, and we're going to figure out what we need to have and not have. And so it starts out with, to begin with, we're going to get a list. We're going to look at our assets and our liabilities. That's going to be a balance sheet that we're going to come up with. You live off of your balance sheet. What that means is that one day in time when you quit, what's going to end up happening is you're going to have to live off the money that you saved unless you had a business that keeps paying, and then that's still just like business investment. So we're going to do that, and then we're going to look at our assets minus our liability. We're going to come up with our net worth. We're not going to include the house in the net worth, because I see people all the time, their house may even be paid for. And unless they can do something to downsize or do a reverse mortgage, whatever it may be, they never access that. It just gives them a free place to live. But it does show up on your balance sheet as an asset. And when it goes in as an asset, you want to make sure that all your assets are true assets. An asset is truly an asset when it pays you to own it. So that might be rental property. It might be a mutual fund or an investment or anything like that, a business, whatever it may be, but it pays you. So what we're going to do is we're going to get a balance sheet done. We're going to make a list, and then we're going to start firing our debts. We're going to fire all people that take our paycheck. So what's going to happen is we're going to start over. We're going to do a reset, a reboot. And what that means is that we're going to take everything that we do, and we're saying, okay, we make $8,000 a month in income. So let's take the $8,000, let's take the taxes out, whatever we have, 401k, that kind of thing. If it's through your work health insurance, and you're going to say, okay, I got $6,000 a month. That's what I have. Out of that $6,000 a month, how am I going to spend it? Because right now I fired everybody. I fired the mortgage. I fired the taxes. I fired the car payment. I fired them all. I decided, you know what? I'm starting all over. And then you're going to go back through and you're going to start adding back in things that you need to add back in. Now, unfortunately, if you have a mortgage and a house, you may have to highlight that as a going to fire it later. It's too expensive. I'm going to get something smaller. Or you have a car payment that you're having to pay every month and you're going to fire that one later. You're going to come up with a plan to get out of it. But at the end of the day, in the perfect world, you're going to say, I make $6,000 a month and I'm going to have a house payment that's this. I'm going to have no car payments. I'm going to have this, that, and the other. And I'm going to have this gap that I've got that allows me to move in a positive direction where I have more money coming in than I have going out. Then I'm going to slowly rehire those different things that matter, and then I'm going to stick to it. Hey, my name is Roy Matlock Jr. I hope you're enjoying the show. When we come back, we are going to tackle how to get out of debt. How about that? And we're going to finish up on the budget. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. and broadcasting right here from Nashville, Tennessee, which got to put a little country music in there to go along with it. And if you're just tuning in right now, today's show, we're talking about the four fundamentals everyone has to abide by if you want to master your money, regardless of how much money you make. I don't care how much you make. There's a lot of things you can spend it on. I mean, $1,000 bottle of wine. How about that? Can you imagine people do that? Hey, they're for sale out there if you go to a nice restaurant. There's all kinds of things. And so the four points are your cash flow plan, budget, emergency fund number two, control and eliminate debt, and then buy the right insurance. And then we got our defense taken care of. And then we're going to go into the offense, and we'll talk about moving forward that way. If you're just tuning in again, go to roymatlockjr.com, and we will take a look at we've got some downloads that will help you along the way, one of which is the budget forms. So here's what happens. If you want to start this thing off right, you start spending less money than you make. You ask yourself, you say, well, you know, I've gotten myself in trouble. How did I get there? Well, you spent more than you made. And what we do to begin with, if we want to get ahead, you got to start getting control. So every, you know, so often I do this, I've been doing this for years. And I got a good friend of mine, every November he goes in and he does this. He fires all of his bills, fires all of his people that are getting money, all these companies that he's really not using. You know, I tell business owners, take a look at expenses that you have and ask yourself, if I were not using this company, would I go buy from them now? If I did not have this employee working with me right now, would I go hire that person right now? And it's a real simple decision. You say, no, I would never do it. Then why are you doing it? Okay, why are you spending money with somebody? That's your profit that you're giving away. If you're a person out there and you've got jobs, realize that the goal is to get to one day in your life where you have security. And that security is, how long can I go without working? That's your security. So if you've got right now $500 in your account, you got a few days. If you have $500,000, you've got years. All right. One day you'll get to a point where you can do that. And so the budget starts it. We talked about that. The emergency fund is part of the budget. When we set the budget up, what we're going to do is set it up in a very simple manner. You know, in today's world, what we have is debit cards. So why not use debit cards? Why not use automation? So let me give you an example. You go to the bank, and the first thing, you got your bank account. If you don't have your bank account set up right, I would have one of three accounts, maybe three, it may be as many as four, and it doesn't make it complicated, but it makes it simple. So if you're working, I call it in my bank account, it's called the draft account. And so all of my income goes to my draft account. From my draft account, what I do is I take that money and I pay all of my automation. I go through my budget, everything that's fixed, regular, I've rehired back the fixed regular accounts, and I get those to where they will automatically pay on time. Online banking, I think it's one of the greatest things. You know, it didn't cost you anything. All you got to do, I mean, if I pay a bill, I just go in there and hit bill pay, but I put it on automation. So what happens is it automatically comes out of my checking account. This also includes my retirement plans. It also includes if I'm developing my emergency fund, I'm going to draft it into something. It may just be drafted into another bank account or a money market account. But the bottom line is everything is coming out of one place. And then each week you're going to have, now keep in mind, you have to calculate things like repairs and maintenance and all those kind of things in there. So what you're going to do is you're going to take that, have it all set up to where money is left over. That draft account every month should grow a little bit, because what's going to happen is it's some maintenance put aside. You calculate, well, how much is it going to cost to replace certain things? And so you do that. And then once you do that, the rest of the money goes into individual accounts that you budget each week on. And I know this sounds, you know, like, I don't want to live on a budget. Well, if you live on it, it's easy. So here's how your budget works. If you're married, you have two accounts. And each week, a certain percentage of money gets put into that account. I think on Sunday night's a good idea. You put that money in, and then you live on it. And that's your weekly budget. And each of you have your money. Spend it as you want. Do whatever you want to do. But at the end of the week, when you're out of money, you're out of money. If you need cash, go to the ATM, pull it out. It comes in there just like that. It comes right out of that one account. And then what I would do is I would then have an, you know, maybe a email or a text message, something like that, each week to get you, let you know, or not each week, but each day, so you'll know exactly what amount of money you have left over. Okay, so then I said at the break we were going to start on getting out of debt. And getting out of debt is, you know, one of the biggest challenges people have right now, credit card, between credit card debts and car loans and student loans. People are out there overwhelmed. I mean, a young person, especially, you know, they've got student loans, they got car loans, you know, and credit card. And so then the tendency is to say, well, if I'm going to be broke, I might as well what? Have a nice car. If I'm going to be broke, I might as well live in a nice apartment, all that kind of stuff. Well, the first thing you should say is, I'm not going to be broke, and I'm going to do all those things. I'm going to do it by doing the right things on the front end to allow me to get fixed. So let's see. Okay, so the first question you should ask when it comes to debt is, should you be worried about your debt? All right. So should you be worried about your debt? Well, I think the first thing is are you paying the payments every month? Are you current? Is it bothering you to pay the payments? Meaning that you feel like that what's happening is that you're always struggling because of the payments? Well, you know, if you're struggling because of the payments, then maybe you're a little overextended and you might want to look at that. But if you're paying your debts, the question is now, is it good debt or is it bad debt? But we got to begin by thinking about what caused it to begin with. Now, what causes debt? Debt is when you spend more money than you make. That's simple enough. Why do you have a car payment? Because you bought a car, you didn't have the cash, and so therefore you spent more than you made. Matter of fact, if you want to get an understanding of your financial, the way you're operating, take your income over the last 5 years, take a look at what you have left, and also add the debt to it, subtract that away, and that'll tell you where you're at. So let's say you've made, you know, 80 grand a year for 5 years, you brought in 400,000, you got 10 grand saved, and you got 30 grand in cars and credit cards. So over the last 5 years, you spent $30,000 more than you made. That's not a good plan. So what you want to do is you want to look at, let's take a look at where we're at. All right, should we be worried? Well, I would be concerned if that's what's going on. Then we say, well, what causes it? I'm spending more than I make. Well, let's fix it. Let's get on a budget, which we just talked about. Let's get on that budget and make sure that we have less going out than we have coming in. And then let's get on a plan. So five fixes that you have to do. First one is, what causes debt? Let's find out if that's what's causing us to get in debt. In other words, are we consistently spending more than we earn? If so, what's the solution? I can tell you right now, you get on a cash flow plan, do what I said, discipline yourself to each week, have those separate accounts to where you're spending less than you make, you'll get out of debt. Here's the key element to get out of debt. Stop borrowing money. Stop spending more than you're making. And then the second question, or the second fix, is determine what kind of debt is bad, okay? Good debt versus bad debt. I'll give you an example. Some of the largest companies, I saw a article where Apple Computer, I think, just borrowed some money rather than using cash. And they thought, all right, well, you know, it's a low cost. We can do that. We're getting a little bit more leverage by doing it that way. So here's good debt. Good debt is debt that has an asset behind it that appreciates. It's good debt is when you are in no way concerned about paying the service on it. So now what's happening is it's easily affordable on a consistent basis, and it's tied to something that goes up in value. All right, so what would that be? Well, the first one we think of is your home. So if you go buy a house and you put your down payment on it and you're paying the payment and it's not too big or it bothers you, your house payment should not bother you at all. All right, if it bothers you, it's too big. And then once you get rolling with that, then as you pay that down, every time you pay that payment, what's happening is you're in essence saving money. The house is going up in value and you're saving money. So by paying it down. So I call that good debt. What's some more good debt? Some more good debt might be you borrow money and for your business. It's easily payable, all right? And you take and you buy new equipment and you put that equipment to work and it turns a profit way over and above what you're doing with the monthly payment going in there. So what happens is we have to understand good debt. Now, what is bad debt? Bad debt is exactly the opposite. And what happens is this. On bad debt, the opposite occurs. You're financing money, are financing things that are going down in value. So what does that mean? That means you have a car. The biggest mistake I see of everything is the cars that people get into, credit cards, all that kind of stuff. So, hey, we're halfway through. When we come back, we're going to continue on getting out of debt. And come down to the home show. Go to RoyMatlockJr.com, get your discounted ticket. I'll be down there a little bit later. We'll be right back. right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. and going into segment three today. And, you know, all about the things you need to know, the defense and offense, four things that everyone, no matter how much money you earn, you've got to be able to master. And that, you know, if you're just tuning in, starts with the budget. Secondly, the emergency fund. We've got to get rid of all the bad debt. And then once we do that, we want to buy the right insurance. And so what we're going to do is this last segment, or this segment and the next segment, we're going to continue on how do you get out of debt and get out of bad debt. What's the difference in bad debt and good debt? Good debt appreciates, has an underlying investment behind it. Could be a business. It could be your home. It could be anything that appreciates in value as a result of owning it. So, and that debt more than pays for the debt service, and the debt service is not a problem. You know, one of the, you can have great ideas, but if the debt's going to knock you out before it's over, then it doesn't work. You know, to give an example, Amazon financed their growth for 11 years. They did it through the sale of stock. Now, they did equity, so they weren't in the scenario where they're having to pay down all the time. But the point of it is that if you are going to go out there and borrow money, make sure it's for good debt. Number one mistake I see for young people is they buy a car that is too expensive. They buy it new because they don't have any money. You know, the best car deals monthly are to buy something new. The worst car deals out there are to buy something new. So what happens is we buy it new because it's easy, $199 a month, nothing down kind of deal. And before you know it, you've got 72 months of payments on something that you lost 20% or more when you drove it off the lot. So let's be smart. Why wouldn't we just go in there and buy something we could pay for, or at least buy something that we can finance, not 72 months, but do it over a short period of time. I always tell people buy used. So why is cars such a big deal? Well, we go out and buy these cars, and next thing you know, we're financing them over a long period of time. And before you know it, what you end up having is you don't have enough money to pay really the expensive car you bought and the maintenance and the insurance and everything goes along with it. And then 1 month, you're a little bit short and you put something on the credit card and you don't pay it off. And so then what happens is now the credit cards begin. So now what you've been doing, you've been spending more than you make. You got credit card debt happening. You've got car payments. You are now on the wrong direction. All right, we are going the wrong way. What we want to be doing is cutting costs and increasing income. And what we're doing right now is we're increasing cost. And so then before you know it, you've got other things that happen. Then you know, have another Home Depot loan because you have a house problem. You have all these things and you've got all this bad debt. So we want to get rid of bad debt all the way. We want to get rid of the cars with the payments, get rid of all anything that has depreciation going in behind it. So how do you go about doing that? Well, you know, one thing I tell people is this: if you have an expensive car, pay it down, all right, to where you can get rid of it. And even if you go finance something for half the price, you can pay the same payment and get out of debt in less than half the time. So you can do that. You can then take do that same thing and take and start applying extra money you earn toward reducing the other bad that you have. But here's the thing you got to keep in mind. Nobody out there that does well or it has credit card debt that they're paying 24% on, they don't do that. Now, every once in a while, you'll hear them, they finance something on their credit card in order to start a business or something like that. But generally speaking, you know, it's hard to get ahead borrowing money at 18, 20%, something like that. And so the third thing that we do, so number one, we have to figure out what causes debt. That means that we spend more money than we make. We get a budget. Number two, we distinguish good debt versus bad debt, and all we want to have is good debt. And hey, you know, I'd like to have a lot of good debt. You know, I'd like to have millions and millions of dollars of good debt, because if I have millions and millions of dollars of good debt, that means I've got millions and millions of dollars of appreciating assets that are more than offsetting the debt service. Because keep in mind, if the debt is good, it's only good if it doesn't have, if it's getting paid on time easily and it's financing something that's going up in value. So what we're going to do, we're going to find out how to pay down, we're going to find money to pay down the bad debt. How do we do that? Go to work. I always tell people, you know, the 50-40-10 rule, if you want to get ahead, you outwork 50% of the people in anything you do, you're gonna do better. All right, just outwork them. So, you know, when I was coming up, one of the things I did, I used to tell people, nobody outworks me. They just don't outwork me. And the reason they don't outwork me is I get up every day and I get after it and I'm on it. And so what you need to be thinking about is, you know, 40 hours is normal. It's hard to get ahead. Go find a way to make an extra grand a month. That's so simple. Guys, it's so simple to make an extra $1,000 a month. You can do that driving an Uber. You can do that working at Home Depot. You do that on simple little things. Or better than that, go find something that has a back end to it. Maybe you go get your real estate license and you learn real estate part-time. Or maybe you go and work with me. You know, I have people that get their securities license and handle investments and that kind of thing. And they do that on a part-time sideline basis until they learn how to do it. But the key element is that they're making money. I've told all of my, you know, spare timers, just take everything you earn, all right, do on anything you do on a part-time, spare-time basis, apply it to something good. Apply it to getting rid of bad debt, or if you've already gotten rid of bad debt, apply it to fully funding your retirement accounts, your IRA, stuff like that. And so we do that. So now number three is we find extra money. We work extra in order to be able to do that. Number four, we're going to plan out our order of attack on which we're going to repay things. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to look at, you know, a couple ways. One, you could do you line up all your bills smallest to largest. That's simple. Don't look at the interest rate. Don't worry about anything. If you have a small credit card, apply all your extra money to that. Remember to automate all of this. Let me give you a perfect example of what happens. If you go out and if you go into, I think it's page 12 in How Money Works, the book that's right on our website, it talks about the difference in revolving debt and credit card debt. A revolving debt and fixed debt on a credit card. So if you have revolving debt, every time you pay the payment goes down on an 18% interest loan. What's going to happen is it takes 17 years to get out of debt by paying the minimum payment. If you do nothing more than put that minimum payment, okay, lock it in. So if your payment's $600 a month, always pay $600 a month. Set it up to where, and you can do that with a credit card company and say, look, just set it at 600. What's my minimum payment? Set it at the minimum payment from now on. Not the minimum payment, but this amount. So my minimum payment today is 600. That's what I want to do. The difference being is it will get you out of debt. And I think I've got these numbers on it. It'll blow your mind what happens, the difference in how quickly you can get out of debt. Let me see if I've got this right here. Here we go, $17,000 at 18%. You pay $595 a month and pay the minimum payment each month. So each time you pay the payment, it goes down. It takes you 17 years and 2 months to get out of debt, $12,500 in interest. So let's say you do one little thing today. You know, my goal is to give you simple, easy-to-use ideas that will allow you to move forward. Just call your credit card company and say, what's my minimum payment? $120 a month. That's fine. I want to lock that in until it's paid off. To give an example, that same $17,000, same interest rate, paying $595 a month, but leaving the $595 to stay that way. The difference is you pay it off in 3 years and 2 months versus 17 years and 2 months, and you save over 50% of the interest cost. So how does that work? What that means is that you say, hey, right now my minimum payment is $595 a month. Keep it that way. I want to pay $595 a month from now on. What it does is it starts really every time you pay the payment, you're adding additional principal to it. And so you're moving yourself forward. So the order of attack might be that. We might look at some of our smaller debts. We might apply any extra money from our extra income to pay the smaller debts off. But the main thing we do is we levelize and fix the payment. There's a couple other ways you can do it. One is you can consolidate it. What is a consolidation? I see this all the time where I look at people and I see their financial. I say, well, what do you have? Well, I've got a house. It's got $300,000 on it. I owe $100 on it. But I've got this credit card, car payments, all this kind of stuff, $50,000-$60,000. And they're getting killed financially every month. It's just getting worse. And I said, well, what if we made a one-time fix? And that one-time fix is we're going to take and we're going to consolidate that. We don't do that unless we have our budget in place. And we're going to look at the numbers. We're going to do it. We're going to pay off the $60,000 via a consolidation loan. It might be a second mortgage. And then you put that on a fixed payout. Or you may turn around and it might make sense to refinance your entire house and put it all in there. Yes, you're giving up that equity, but now that monthly payment that you were paying toward debt maybe is $500, $600, $700 a month. Set that up to fully fund your emergency fund. Set it up to fully fund your retirement plans. Increase your 401k contributions, those kind of things. And so what happens is there's a solution. It's math. What I do is I sit with people and I look at their overall picture. I said, look, here's where you're at. You've made some mistakes, so why don't we fix them and let's get it fixed right now. Let's take your debts that you've got and those payments. Let's turn that into millions of dollars. How do we do that? We levelize it. Then once the debts are paid off, we automatically start putting it in to something else. And so with that being said, when we come back, we're going to continue on the fundamentals. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how to save money on all of your insurances. My name is Roy Matlock. We'll be right back. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we're on our final segment for the day, and I hope that you guys are taking notes and doing some of the free downloads, because all I do, my job, that's what I do, is educate people. And my company, we help people implement the education. And what I mean by that is that we, for the last 35 years, have worked with people to help them get their accounts set up, to get them on a road to financial independence. We teach things like how to develop and find your FIN number. What is your FIN number? Your FIN number is your financial independence number. And one of the things that I know how to do more than anything, and that we work on, is we show people ways to free up money to save. If you've been listening today, we talked about setting up a budget. You know, the only reason you do a budget is in order to free up money to save. You fire your expenses. Why do you do that? Because you just are throwing money away. Everybody wants to market to you. You know, Amazon, if they had it their way, they'd take all your money. And I don't blame them. I wish I had a business like that where everybody 24/7, 7 days a week, anywhere in the world can pull their phone out and spend money with me. That's a great business. But the reality is you have to have restraint on what you do. And I don't care what you make, you have to have restraint, because there's always something out there that you can spend money on. I've seen it, you know, all the way around where people go out and they start making a lot of money. Then what do? They buy bigger houses, bigger cars, spend more money on the things that everybody wants to do. And then before you know it, they're broke. They have a setback, or maybe the lottery winner, you know, that goes through all their money. So anyway, so with that being said, that's what we do. You can visit my website, roymatlockjr.com. And if you want to schedule a free consultation to get a financial needs analysis done, a written document that will give you your FIN number and all the things to go along with getting out of debt, buying the right insurance, saving money for your kids' college, you can do that. Visit roymatlockjr.com. Also on the website, we've got all of the podcasts. There are over 30 shows, and every show is about helping you move forward financially. So now let's go to the insurance side. What are some of the things we spend a lot of money on? So let's talk about it. The three keys on insurance. Number one is understand what you need and don't need. Number two, understand how it works and what to buy. And number three, how to do a review. So let's do this. Let's start with the things that you do need. You do need life and health insurance. You need auto and home. You need personal liability insurance. probably disability income, long-term care. How about that? Those are the things that I see people need. You know, life insurance, if you die, it provides an income. Health insurance keeps you from going into really having major troubles. Plus, it gives you the access to health care. Auto and home insurance. Auto insurance is required. If you are driving a car, you have to have liability. Homeowners insurance, you know, protect your assets. Personal liability is, you have something happen, your dog bites somebody, you have a wreck, somebody falls at your house, you have personal liability insurance. Disability income is designed in the event you become disabled, either you can't do your specific job or you can't work at all, you can buy something like that. Long-term care insurance is at or near retirement. You purchase that. That's nursing home, covers assisted living, home health care, nursing home, all those kind of things. So those are things that you probably will end up needing and should purchase, and that's good. Now, what are the ones you don't need? You don't need extended warranties. You don't need cancer insurance. You don't need specific indemnity policies that only pay, you know, for a certain specific, you know, critical illness or something like that. That's where you go buy health insurance. I don't believe that, you know, it's probably the greatest idea to go buy, you know, pet insurance or all those kind of things. So anyway, with that being said, you need to look at it. Don't buy gimmicks. Okay, accidental death insurance. Let me give you a perfect example. If you die on an airplane in an airplane crash, or you die at your home having a heart attack, you're dead, and it doesn't change anything on what your family needs. So why should you go buy, you know, double indemnity? Pays off if you die by accident. There's no reason for that. I mean, so what you want to do is just realize that insurance companies, what they do is they're like, okay, all these people are going to lose their cell phone, so let's just sell an insurance policy in case they lose their cell phone, and we're going to collect on it. And, you know, you're self-insured. Guys, keep in mind, if you tear your phone up, you're self-insuring yourself if you don't have insurance on it. Big deal. Are you going to insure something for $400, $500, $600, something like that? It makes no sense. So what we want to do is not buy the gimmicks. The gimmicks don't make any sense. How it works, insurance is designed to indemnify, bring back to where you were. So you're not buying insurance with the idea of making money. All you're doing is you're throwing risk off the table. You're saying, you know what? I'm concerned. Maybe my house would burn down. I'll pay the premium in order to have some guarantees that if anything happens, I'm okay. But here's what you don't want to do. You don't want to get insurance poor, and you want to make sure that you're doing the right types of insurance. So all insurance is indemnifying. You can buy insurance on, you know, the bank offers FDIC insurance, way expensive insurance. All right. Would I put my money in the bank for my long-term investments? No, I wouldn't do that. All right. So the point is that what you want to do is understand what insurance is. Insurance is you're turning over risk, all right, to them, to the insurance company. And if anything happens, you're able to offset that risk. So let me give you five quick things to look for. When you buy life insurance, only buy term insurance. Insure your spouse. Don't buy big insurance policies on children because they are a liability. All you're doing is looking for final expenses. And never buy life insurance that has a cash value. Cash value, bad deal. I can show you the math. You're always better off buying the term life insurance. Put it into another investment. I mean, you're way better off. I've never seen one time in 35 years of analyzing thousands of these things that you're better off doing that. Now, anytime you do a replacement of insurance, always get something in place before you do it. Home and auto insurance, no gimmicks. Raise your deductibles. We'll save you some money if you have a car that's an older car. You might want to drop the collision on it. If you raise your deductibles, here's what's going to happen. You're going to end up saving premium because you're taking on more of the risk. Let me give you an example. If you have a $250 deductible on your car, you pay more for it, yet you'll never use it. Very few people tell me they would turn in a claim if it was $200 or $300. So therefore, you're paying for something that you don't use. I want to look at my liability insurance to make sure that I have enough liability, usually hundreds of thousands, if if not millions of dollars of liability depending on your assets. Last thing you want to do is be driving down the road, have a wreck, hit an expensive car. You got minimum liability coverage, and now the insurance company immediately settles up, and then you owe another $50,000 or something like that, or somebody falls off your steps at your house, or your dog bites them, and then the next thing you know, they sue you. So you want to make sure you have personal liability limits that are high. You might consider a personal liability umbrella policy. Next thing is disability income. If you're a professional worker, you're an engineer, you're a doctor, whatever you may be, you might want to look at specific disability. It means that if you can't do your job as a result of the disability, you narrow it down and you get paid on that because you've got a big investment in your education. So make sure that your income is always going to be there if something were to happen. Two types of disability. You got that type, and then you got just general disability insurance. Now, let's get to the last one, long-term care. Oh, and by the way, disability will do about 60% of your income is what it replaces. Long-term care insurance is something that you would purchase, protects you against a nursing home stay, protects you against home health. If you get sick, you buy it at or near retirement. Usually it's cheaper if you buy it with the husband and wife both purchasing the insurance. So with all that being said, we are about out of time. I want to give you a couple things you might want to do. You might want to go to roymatlockjr.com and check out my podcast. If you listen to my podcast, you will get educated. If you get educated, you will avoid bad decisions, those bad decisions that cost you money. You know, you're out there working every day. Make your money work for you. You can go to the podcast. This show will be up as well this coming week. You can also download a lot of things. Let me tell you something brand new, and it's our money quiz. If you go to the website, just got posted today, our money quiz, what will happen, you'll ask a series of questions. And when you ask those questions, you'll end up taking those questions, and they'll send you back a report on that. So with that being said, we're about out of time. Once again, thank you for listening. I'm getting ready to run down to the home show, National Home Show. You can visit RoyMatlockJr.com and get tickets. Thank you for listening.